Thank you, Lord. Good morning. You can be seated. Come on, who's glad that the tomb is still empty? He's alive. He's risen. He's well. Come on, I'm so excited, so grateful. My name's Thomas Humphreys. I'm lead pastor here at Rev City Church, and we're just so thankful that you, and again, honored and humbled that you would take time to come and worship with us this morning. So good to see you, Rev City family. So good to see you, friends. Those of you that are joining us maybe for the first time this morning, we're honored. We're grateful. We're thankful that you're here. And we've been praying for you and for this time. And, you know, Easter is just such a powerful celebration. Listen, Easter, the story of Easter, it's the most significant, important, powerful message in the history of the world. And what Jesus did for you and me, it's far-reaching, it's significant, and it's life-changing. And listen, I'm grateful that we have a day that we set aside to celebrate it, but I believe that the Lord intended for it to be more than just one day. He intended it for it to be a life that we live. It's the life that's possible. Listen, the resurrection. People of God, hear me this morning. The resurrection is more than just something that Jesus did, though that was significant. The Bible says it's who he is. He said in John 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. Come on, it's the life, resurrection power, resurrection life, filled with faith, filled with hope, impossible situations, bowing their knee to the name of Jesus. It's the life that Jesus made possible for us to live. It's the reason that we celebrate today, amen? So I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share God's word with you, and I hope you're encouraged, and I hope you're strengthened. We're called Rev City Church because we want to bring people to life in Jesus. We want to revive people to life in Jesus. We want to revive people to an active life of faith and relationship with a good God who loves you and has a purpose and a plan for your life. Amen? So I'm privileged to share with you. I hope you're encouraged. And would you join with me in just praying over our word this morning, inviting the Holy Spirit, honoring God's presence, and also just posturing ourselves today to hear from heaven and receive whatever it is that God wants to speak into your life, your heart, your circumstances, your situations, your marriage, your family, your finances. I don't know where you're at in all those places, but I can tell you something that with certainty God does. He knows and he cares and he wants to help. It's the message of Easter. And so, Lord, we thank you for your goodness towards us. We thank you for the risen life of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And we thank you that you're here today. We open our hearts. We say, Lord, let our hearts and our minds be soft and alert, willing to hear and receive whatever it is you would have to speak to us today as your sons and daughters. Any of us that are here today, Lord, who were weak or were weary, were wounded, were hurting in an area, I thank you, God, today that you would come and you would strengthen, you would heal, you would bring comfort, you would bring strength today to us as your people. And Lord, we thank you. You died to give us a resurrection life. You died to give us a life filled with power and hope and faith and victory. In Jesus' mighty name and all God's precious people said, come on with the shout, say amen. Say amen. Come on, I want to talk to you today. I want to encourage you with the seven invitations of Easter. Come on, there's probably a lot more than that, but seven was about all I had time to get into. Come on, and you guys who are part of Rev City, you know I love my alliterations, and somehow, some way, I found a way for all seven of them to start with the letter F. And no, final four is not a part of it. And we're going to have ministry time at the end of this service for those of you that need it this morning, so hang in there. Seven invitations of Easter, they all happen to start with the letter F, and the first one is forever. Forever. That God sent Jesus. He sent his one and only son. He loved you so much, he sent Jesus as an invitation because he desired for you to have the opportunity to live with him forever. Listen, Easter is about Jesus coming and flipping the script on death. The Bible says before we are born again, our physical bodies are perishing. And Jesus came and he made a way that whole concept would be flipped. Before Jesus, our bodies were perishing and we were dying. After Jesus, we're just now beginning to live. And you're going to live forevermore if you have faith in him. The Bible says, Jesus said that we could be born again, John chapter 3, verse 3. He said, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And you say, what does that mean, Pastor T? And listen, it means that you have the opportunity through Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, for a brand new start, a fresh beginning. Come on, how many of you could have used a few of those in your life? It's what God made possible through Jesus Christ. Not sort of new, not kind of new, brand new, born again, made new. Come on, and the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. The old things have passed away, and new things have come. Jesus came to make a way that you might be made new, not just now, but forevermore. He came and made a way for sin and death and the grave to be defeated, that you might know life, and not just life abundantly in this earth, but life eternal through his sacrifice. Amen? Listen, studies show, and that passage, John 11, verse 25, he says, the one who believes in me will live even though he dies. And studies show 100% of people are going to die. Listen, and you say, Pastor T, this is an Easter message. Keep it positive. I'm positive you're going to die. Your physical body is perishing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says it, but it says we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Come on, I'm being born again. I'm being made new. I'm just now discovering what it means to live, and I'm never going to die. Though this physical body may die, the spirit that God's born again, that God has recreated and made new in me through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ will never die, will never perish, and I'll live forevermore with my Savior, worshiping him. Amen? Come on, that's the invitation. Number two is forgiveness. Forgiveness. An invitation of Easter to you is forgiveness. Listen, I wonder, if you had to this morning rate yourself on a scale of 0 to 100, and with all due respect to Elisa, she got it so wrong this morning. 100 being the best you could be, and 0 being a really, really awful kind of a person. Like the person that chose that car horn last night to serve as the substitution horn for the Final Four. That kind of a person. Where would you... Come on, did anyone else notice that besides me? I was like, what is that? You know, like someone's Volkswagen is on the sideline. I mean, what happened there? Shoot. If you had to rate yourself... I mean, here, back to the sermon, Pastor T. If you had to rate yourself on a scale of 0 to 100, 100 being, 100 is like the standard of Jesus. And listen, I'm not talking about through the blood of Jesus, through the shed blood of Jesus, I'm a 100. I'm saying just who you are in your natural state, just who you are in your own strength. What would be accurate? Would it change from day to day, from week to week? I mean, maybe one day you're like an 80, and then the next day, you know, the day after the Final Four, you're like a 40, you know, and the next day you're like a 20. I mean, someone does something to you at work, and you're a 20. But just think about it. What, I mean, even on your best day, what would you be able to accurately say that you are on a scale of 0 to 100? How good of a person can you really be in your own strength? Have you ever told one white lie? Have you ever stolen permanently borrowed office supplies from your place of work? One paperclip, one stamp. Come on, have you ever stolen something? Have you ever told even one little white lie? Have you ever had even one lustful thought or one jealous thought or one angry moment? Come on a scale of 0 to 100, how good can you really be in your own strength? Listen, every one of us has sin in our lives. The Bible says it this way. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the word that's used there is hamartano, and it's an archery term that means to miss the mark. It means we're shooting for something and we keep falling up short. We're shooting for something, this standard of perfection, and we keep falling short. And don't worry about it. God knows. He says all have done this. The standard of God's holiness and his perfection is out here, and all of us have tried, and all of us have come up short. So just relax. Every one of you have. Pastor T, I blew it. I blew it a long time. Come on, we blame Adam and Eve all the time. If it wasn't for them, one of us would have blown it since then. We all fall short. We've all sinned and fall short. Listen, be encouraged. We've all missed the mark. Even if you've sinned once, or some of you, maybe you turned in a season of your life, you turned sin into a recreational sport. We're all in the same situation. We're all falling short of the standard of God, and we all have a need for forgiveness. And forgiveness is an invitation of Easter. We all have the same thing, the need to be healed, the need to be forgiven, the need for this weight that we carry around that is the burden of sin to be removed from us, this need for this stain that gets on us to be washed away, this need for this separation, this gap that causes between us and God and between us and God's purpose and plan for our life, for our marriage, for our future, to be made whole, to be restored, to be reconciled. We all have that news. And I'm telling you this morning that the good news of Easter is that that's the very reason that Jesus came. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew you would have a need for a Savior. He knew that you would blow it. He knew that I would blow it. He knew that on that scale of 0 to 100, we could never achieve. And so God sent Jesus to pay the price that none of us could pay. God took Jesus to bear the weight, to take upon him the sin that you and I committed. Listen, good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. And we all need forgiveness. And our works and our effort and even our religion, maybe even the best way we can put it together, can't save us. We're saved by grace. Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. But Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 9 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, praise God, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. And he says, it's by grace you've been saved. Through faith, it's not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not by works so that no one can boast. It's the gift of God. Listen, Jesus is the gift of God. Jesus is the invitation of God to the life of forgiveness. And he says, no one can boast in our own strength. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 17, flips the script and says, let the one who does boast, boast in the Lord our God. And come on, I don't know about you, but that's what I'm here to do this morning. That's why I stand up here and I do my little pastor preacher pogo worship thing that you see me doing up here, because I know that without Jesus I'm lost, but in him I'm saved, and I'm grateful, and I've got, my heart is filled with gratitude, not just on Easter Sunday but every day. And it's the reason that I worship, and it's the reason that I praise. And come on, somebody ought to boast in the Lord our God. Amen. Number three is freedom. He came to as an invitation for forever and forgiveness and for freedom. It's for freedom that Christ sets you free. And Galatians 5 says, stand firm then, stand firm. Don't let yourself once again be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Listen, God doesn't just pay our debt and forgive our sin. He wants to deliver us out of it so that we can begin to live a life of abundance, so that we can begin a life of freedom, so that we can begin to live a life of victory. We can live this life that around here at Rev City we call a fully alive and shining brightly kind of life, unhindered by the weight and the guilt of shame and condemnation and fear that the enemy tries to put on us. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2 says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He set you free from the law of sin and death. He's removed the penalty of your sin. Come on, he's paid the price. He's come and he's taken it upon himself. All the things that you deserved, he's come and he's taken the punishment. He's taken the penalty. He's taken the judgment. He's taken the sentence upon himself. But so many times in my own life, and I see other believers, the Lord's come and he's showed up in the courtroom of our life, and he said, case dismissed. He said, I'll take the punishment. Release that person from what they've done. It's on me. And yet so many times the doors of our cells have been flung. Jesus came and he flung it open. But we become so used to living in the ways of sin that at night many of us go back to that very place. Come on, Jesus didn't come to just put you on parole. Jesus didn't come to just put you out on work release program. Jesus came to fully set you free. Come on, he pardoned your sentence. He took it on himself. You're free. And the Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, let's not go back to those things. Let's begin to run our race. Let's begin to break free from some of those things in the grace and the power of Jesus Christ, and begin to go and do the things that he called us to do, and go and begin to live this life that he paid the price for us to live. Come on, what does God must think when he looks down and he says, I sent my son, and he was my only son, and he shed his blood to pay the price for your sin. Why are you still living? Why are you going back to the cell at night? The door, if you just push the door open, you'll discover it's been made open. It's been, the key, Jesus has the key to it. Quit going back there and pulling it closed at night. Push that door open and begin to run in freedom and joy and victory that Jesus made possible for you to live in. Amen. Number four is he came to give us an invitation to live a life of faith. Listen, God is writing a big story in your life. He's writing an amazing story in your life. And let me tell you, you can only see part of it. He sees like this. His ways, his thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. God sees this big picture, this big story that he's writing in your life, that he's writing in your marriage, that he's writing in your family. But we can only see like this. So we've got to live by faith. The Bible says that we are, as the people of God, we're called to live and walk by faith and not by sight. He came as an invitation to live out a life of faith. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in me. This life I now live in the body. Come on, he's talking about this life, this life, the life you're living right now, not beyond eternity, not in eternity, this life I now live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. And he's called us to live by faith. God's writing a story in your life. And you know what I think is so beautiful about the story of Easter is that it involves three parts. It involves a painful death. It involves a dark tomb. And it involves a glorious resurrection. And listen, I think that God just, he wrote it that way because he so wants to and he so desires to relate to you and to me. He understands our grief. He understands the challenges of life. The story of redemption and restoration and freedom and forgiveness, he wrote it that way intentionally. He designed it that way from the foundation of time so that it would be relatable to you and me, because how many of you know in life you're going to have some pain? Listen, there was a Friday, there was a Saturday, and there was a Sunday. And in life you're going to have some Fridays. You're gonna have some of those painful moments, those painful days. On this side of eternity, you're going to go through some of those things where you experience loss, where you experience rejection, where you experience disappointment, when you experience delay. And come on, let me encourage you with something this morning. When you walk through those moments, those Fridays of life, those Fridays in your marriage, those Fridays that as you're walking towards a dream or a purpose or a destiny that God's put in your life, as you're walking towards some of those things, you're going to have some Fridays. But when you go through those things, be encouraged. God understands. The God we serve, the Savior we serve, came and experienced the very same thing. He's familiar with your grief. He's gone through every temptation. He's familiar with those things. He knows exactly what it feels like and then some. And come on, those nails that pierced the hands of Jesus, they hurt. In Matthew chapter 26, it's an amazing passage. We find the Lord Jesus preparing to be crucified, and he's spending time with some of the disciples, and he says in verse 37 through 39, he says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow even to the point of death. And he goes on and he says, stay here and keep watch with me. And he said, going a little bit further, he fell. Listen, just picture it in your mind's eye this morning. Just the trauma as Jesus was preparing to carry the burden and the weight of your sin and my sin. It was difficult. It was painful. And it says that Jesus fell to the ground in agony. You can almost see it. He said, he prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. And then he said something that turned it all back around. He said, yet not my will, but your will be done. Listen, there's a purpose in your pain. The enemy has a purpose for it, and God has a purpose for it. What determines what you experience is who you submit it to. What determines what you experience is who you present it to. And it was painful that Jesus was feeling the weight of it. And he literally and physically lay down and cried out, God, if there's another way that we can do this thing. Then he said, but not my will, your will be done. The Bible says that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Listen, if you're going through a painful moment, a painful chapter in that big story that God's writing in your life by faith, let me encourage you, don't get stuck. Let God keep turning the page. Keep moving. Keep walking. Come on. If you catch hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep moving. Turn the page. Let God keep writing. But isn't it amazing? The story of redemption, God wrote it in such a way. There was a painful Friday. There was a tomb of Saturday in which there was doubt and delay and discouragement, and there was a glorious resurrection. Come on, I don't know about you, but if I was writing it, I think I would have written it a little bit differently. Come on, I'm talking about in my own flesh. I mean, even if I had the strength to kind of persevere and fulfill my purpose and die on the cross, I think as soon as I breathed my last, man, right then and there, while some of those people that had stabbed me and poked me and prodded me and cursed me and hung that thing on my head and hung that sign over my head, I think right then and right there, I would have been calling in an army of angels, bring out the heavy guns and let them have it and let them see it and let them know who was boss. That's how I would have done it. Come on, who's with me in your own flesh? It's like, get him, God. Come on. Show him. I would have come back to life right there and been like, nah, what's up, you know? It's not the way Jesus designed it. He breathed his last, and then maybe even people were there like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And even though he'd been telling them things, you know, I mean, they couldn't believe it fully. They're like waiting, what's going to happen, what's going to happen? And what happened is they took him down from that cross and they took him and they put him in a tomb. This is where many of us live, the Saturdays of life. We've been through some painful stuff. We've been through some difficult situations. And now we're kind of living in this like perpetual Saturday, this tomb of defeat and disappointment and doubt and delay. It's where most of us live. The stuff that's happened to us, and now we're just waiting. God, what can really come out of this? What good can really happen of this? How am I going to make it through this? And listen, can I just encourage you, when you find yourself in, just like on Fridays, when you find yourself in the Saturdays of life, riddled with doubt, riddled with discouragement, facing delays, maybe you thought you'd be married by now and you're not. Maybe you thought you'd have that promotion by now and someone else got it. Maybe you thought that God was going to do something in your life and he's not done it yet. Maybe you thought that maybe you stepped out and you started it. I mean, whatever it is, doubt, disappointment, delay, the Saturdays of life, be encouraged. Jesus experienced the very same thing. In almost every testimony, there's a journey. In almost every promise, there's a process. There's a testing of our faith. Come on, you can't even spell the word testimony without the word test. And some of you are closer than you think, and you just need to hang on, and you need to keep your eyes set on the promise of Sunday. You need to go back. The disciples, if they'd have just gone back and just kind of listened to some of the things Jesus was saying, he was trying to tell them what was going to happen. But sometimes when it's so close up to us, all we see is the shed blood of Jesus. All we see is the dead body. All we see is the dark tomb. All we see is the heavy stone. All we see is the doubt and the delay. We're familiar with that. Don't allow those things to become more real to you than the promise of God for Sunday. In your life, in your marriage, in your finances, in your future, he's got a promise. Come on, you might experience some of those things, doubt, delay, discouragement, but hang in there, hang on. There's hope. Jesus experienced the same thing. And the invitation of Easter is that you can have faith. 2, 5, and 6, I put them together, friends and family. Friends and family. Listen, the heart of the Easter story is God's great love for you. And at the end of all this, all God gets is a family. It's his chosen analogy. It's how he represents himself to us. He's the Father. He sent his Son. We gather in the house of God. The church is the bride of Christ. He chooses to reveal himself as the Father. He's a lot of things. He's Savior. He's Judge. He's Master. He's Creator. He's Ruler. He's all these things. But first, he's your Father. And the heart of the Easter story is his amazing, radical love for you. The Bible says, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. I'm not looking for just a bunch of servants. I'm looking for friends. I want a relationship with you. He said, I want to restore you back to the rightful position of how I created you in the first place to walk and abide with me in a relationship that's intimate and close. You're my sons. You're my daughters. You're my friends. It's the heart of the Easter story, and it's the invitation. Listen, God, He didn't come and die to set up a church or a system of religion. He came and he died to set up a relationship with you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your father. He wants to adopt you back into his house. He wants to cover all the stuff that you've been through. And maybe even like the prodigal son, you ran from him and you said, give me my inheritance and I'll go and figure it out on my own. And today God is saying, I'm calling you home. I want to be your friend. Always had it in my heart. God says, I've always wanted you to just know me as your father, to abide with me as a son or a daughter. Listen, the story of Easter is all about relationship. He came to bring us home. He came to adopt us. Ephesians 1:4-8 says it so clearly. Even before he made the world, God loved you. And he chose you to be holy. He chose you to be without fault in his eyes. And he decided in advance, it says, to adopt you into his own family by bringing you to himself through Jesus Christ. Come on, I don't know why I'm replacing those pronouns with the word you, because I think I'm speaking to someone. You could believe it for someone else, but not for yourself. And I'm telling you today that the presence of the Lord is here to remind you it's for you. He did it 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 for you. Every one of us that's in this room. There's nothing you could have done. There's nothing you could have said. There's no way you could be too far gone to escape the magnitude and the granditude. Did I just say that? The bigness. It's really big, y'all. The love of God. It's really big. It's all about relationship. Come on, we have a hard time understanding the love of God, relating to the love of God. In our English language, we have one word for love, you know. I mean, there's some other words you could use, but really, we just have one word. And so we say we love God, and then we say we love Jayhawks. We say we love God, and then we say we love our wife. We say we love God, and then we say we love tacos. Come on, again, I get a good amen there. We have only one word for love, but in the Bible language, in the Greek language, there were multiple words for love. There were multiple words for love. There's the word sorge, which is like the love that you have for family members, even the crazy aunt and uncle that there's no reason you should love them, but you do anyways. Come on, every family has one. You know it's true. And if you're sitting there today and you're saying, I don't know that we really have one, it's you. It's the word sorge, and then there's the word phileo, and it's the love that we have for one another in Christ as brothers and sisters. It's the love that it's just this bond that you feel towards one another that is only based and built on the work of Jesus and the fact that we're all saved by him. Come on, it's the love that I feel for you guys as brothers and sisters. Then there's the word eros, and it's like a sensual love. It's the kind of love that I only have for this beautiful woman right here. Come on, if you are married and you are sitting next to your spouse, everyone get that? Come on, look at him and say, I eros you. Come on, get a room. Doesn't that feel good, though? Because we say, I love you, baby, and then we say, I love the Jayhawks. You know, it's like, how can those things add up? But there's another word for love in the Bible, and it's the word agape. And it's the word that God uses when he expresses his radical, crazy love for you and for me. It's unconditional. It's unwavering. It's unshakable. It can't be defeated. It's the agape love of God. And it's phenomenal. It's this love that would send his only son to pay the price for you and me, would shed his blood for you and me to make a way for you and I to be back in the family of God. The invitation of Easter is he wants to be your friend. He wants to call you a part of his family. The last F is the future. And can I ask the worship team to prepare to come up and back me up here? We're going to have communion here in a little bit. The last F. Come on, I told you I did it. 7 Fs. The last one is a future. Jesus came, the invitation of Easter, the reason for Easter. He came to make a way for you to connect to the future that he has for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, many of us know that scripture. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Come on, the Lord's declaring this. This is Old Testament scripture, but the Lord is declaring this. And he knew when he spoke this in the days of old that there was a cross coming for him that would be what would reconcile and connect you to the purposes and the plans in the future that he has for you. And he says, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Listen, Jesus came to connect you to a purpose. Jesus came to connect you to a life. I'm grateful that I'm forgiven. I'm grateful for eternity. Come on, I'm grateful. I mean, I'm grateful. Eternity is a long time, and I'm grateful that I'm going to be spending it with Jesus Christ. But Jesus is saying, I came to not just get you there. I came to give you a future even in this life. I came to connect you to the purpose for which I created you. I came to connect you to the reason for which I had you born in such a time as this. I came to defeat all the stuff, all the things, all the sin, all the guilt, all the weight, all the shame, all that stuff that's happened so that you could connect to the race that I prepared you to call, that I've called and prepared you before the foundations of time to begin to run. You have a future in him. Listen, I'm great. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. And I think that there's some people, though, here today that would say, you know what? That's about the extent of what really I can experience in God. Because, Pastor T, if you knew what I'd done, if you knew what I had said, if you knew where I had been, if you knew what I think at night, if you knew what I've done in the dark, I'm grateful that I'm just going to kind of slide into heaven on the blood of Jesus. But I could never really, God could never really use me. God could never really flow through me. God, you know, I mean, if I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just so grateful that I'm forgiven because I've got all this stuff in my life. Come on, I'm just telling you. I don't care how big you've blown it. I don't care how many marriages you've been through and messed up. I don't care. There's nothing you could tell me as a pastor. There's nothing you could come and say, Pastor T, I know what you said. It sounded good, and I'd like to believe it for me, but let me tell you this. Nothing. There's not one thing. Jesus came and he died to forgive you. He came and died that you might live forever. He came and died so that you could have a life of faith. He came and died so that you could be his friend. He came and died so and rose again so that you could be part of his family. And he came and died so that you could connect to the hope and the future that he has for you. Amen. And I just wonder if there's anyone here today who wants to take the Lord up on his invitations. I just wonder if there's anyone here today who wants to respond to this amazing, radical, agape love of the Father, this invitation to become the friend of God, this invitation to become a part of the family of God. Right now, normally what they would tell you to do is have every eye closed, every head bound. But you know, I just think there's faith for me to believe that some people are ready and willing to make just a little bit more bold of a declaration with everyone, every head not bowed and all the eyes not closed, to respond to this invitation that we've been talking about this morning and say, yeah, that's what I need. So if in any area of those of your life, any of those seven things, if this morning you would say in any way, I want to experience more. I want to experience the new life. I want to receive the promises of God. I want to take advantage of the invitation of my Heavenly Father that is Jesus Christ to a life where I'm forgiven and made free and I'm living a life of faith and wholeness and I have a future in Him. Come on, if that's you this morning, I just want to ask you, all I'm going to ask you to do is just put your hand up before God. Just say, that's me. Say, that's me. Thank you, Lord. Come on, we're just going to take one moment. That's me. That's me, Lord. I recognize my need for a Savior. I recognize I've gotten off track. I recognize I've been lonely. I recognize I've been isolated. I recognize I have a need. And this morning, I'm responding in faith. This morning, I'm not making light of this amazing price that was paid by Jesus. I'm responding in faith, and I'm reaching. Come on, your hand reaching forward today is just, it's just a token of faith. To just say, God, I'm reaching up to receive. I'm reaching up to grab what you have for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, can I just ask you all to just pray this prayer? Because, come on, every one of us, we're being recreated day by day by day by day. We're being born again and made new day by day. And can we join all? Can we just pray this corporately? Can we all just pray this prayer unto God? And would you repeat after me? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the price you paid on Calvary. I thank you for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that made a way for me to be forgiven and made new. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I put my hope and my faith in Jesus Christ. And I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, say it again. I'll never be the same. Come on. I'll never be the same. Come on, people of God, put your hands together just in gratitude to Jesus first and foremost. but also for all the precious people who responded in faith today, who responded in faith.